ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Well, as concerns about data safety and privacy continue to build, the popularity of TikTok has been cause for alarm for governments and policymakers around the world. Last week, and despite a user base of an estimated 1.6 billion people globally, I think about 170 million of them in the US, President Joe Biden signed into law the Protecting Americans from Foreign Adversary Controlled Applications Act, which is an effective ban of TikTok in the US. Very interesting. This bill that has been passed isn't just a high-profile shot at the ultra-popular app. It's a move so historically unusual that it could run into problems if it's signed into law and escalate growing geopolitical tension between China and the West, in inverted commas. Joining us to talk about the TikTok ban is writer and podcaster James Hennessy, co-host of the tech and culture podcast Down Round, who has covered the topic extensively over the last year. James, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Are you on TikTok?
I don't post on there, but I do look at it from time to time.
Yeah, you're a lurker, as they say.
I'm a lurker, yeah.
So where did this come from? How did it start?
So basically, governments in the West, and particularly the US, have been a little bit antsy about TikTok for quite a while. So it picked up in popularity in sort of 2019 or so, just pre-pandemic. Maybe 2018 was when their user numbers really started to shoot up. And it was a bit unusual when compared to other social media platforms in that it is a Chinese company. It's owned by the company named ByteDance, which is a large Chinese tech firm that has a bunch of interests. So this was unusual because obviously most social media companies come out of the United States, which as the popularity grew and it started to eclipse American social media apps like Instagram, Facebook, in terms of growth, this caused a little bit of consternation amid sort of the security establishment to suggest that there was something problematic going on here. There was a general feeling that started to grow that because many Chinese firms kind of operate hand in glove with the government, there's regulation and laws in China, which Chinese companies have to hand over access to the government. There was a general feeling that the data of Americans and American teenagers might be accessible by the Chinese state apparatus, basically.
It is interesting. Now, James, I'll just let you know that you sort of went off mic there for a little bit and you were a little bit distant. So I'll just let you know that just in case there's something you can do. Yes, but I think we got the gist of what you were saying. Very interesting stuff. Can I ask you a question? This is a bit of a threshold question. I remember back in the day there used to be a thing called Vines, which were kind of little short little videos. And they were funny and much like Twitter used to be, had to be short. That was one of the disciplines in the way that Twitter used to be 140 characters or what have you. And I used to really like Vines. Isn't TikTok just Vines? Isn't it just the same idea? I heard that Vine went bankrupt. What was the story with that?
It was basically, it's kind of a similar idea. Vine was actually, it started independently, but then was acquired by Twitter. And basically, they just didn't really know what to do with it. It wasn't run particularly well. It was kind of a fun and great platform. But there is a lot of conversation about, if they had just operated a bit better, given it a little bit more attention, it could have been something of TikTok scale. Because you're right, TikTok came along with a very similar sort of model, short videos, and sort of, took the world by storm.
Look, talk to us a bit about this obsession with banning TikTok. It started with the Trump administration.
It did, yeah. So that was when things first came to a head. The Trump administration and the security agencies of the US were very much into it. Both parties sort of developed a bit of a consensus that there was an issue there. And Trump ordered it be banned by executive order. So the US Congress, he just made an executive order that TikTok had to divest. So it had ByteDance, the Chinese owner, had to sell TikTok to basically an American company or a Western company for it to continue operating. TikTok challenged that in the courts, and a judge basically gave them an injunction that said, you actually didn't respect sort of TikTok's right of essentially right of reply on this. And they entered a sort of a lengthy legal process, which was interrupted by the 2020 election. So when Joe Biden was elected, that executive order sort of fell to pieces. And TikTok got a bit of a reprieve. Nothing happened for a little while. But this year, and I suppose, I guess you could say over the past 12 months, maybe, it's really kicked up again. And that's culminated in what's happened right now, which is the ban passing both the House and the Senate and being signed by President Biden.
I find this fascinating because I had no idea that Biden, so the first thing he did was like revoke a Trump-era order that would have banned TikTok outright. And you're saying, yes, that was being challenged in the court and so on. So yes. Biden's done an about face on this, it looks like. Or did he just say that wasn't going to work? I needed to do it through the legislature to have a meatier and stronger law.
Well, there's a real kind of, there's sort of some interesting domestic political issues at play here. One of the big issues here is that, you know, TikTok is very popular, as you said. It's got hundreds of millions of American users. And the vast majority of those, or at least the focus of that, is young Americans. So there's been a fear on kind of both sides of the aisle, actually, but more the Democratic Party in the US, which have a stronger youth base of voters, that banning their favorite app, to put it in really simple terms, would be really alienating and hurt their political chances. So that kind of argument has happened a lot. But at the same time, there's been, I think, a broader desire among sort of the regular American voting population to see something done about TikTok, you know, rightly or wrongly, and that it may not have as much of a political repercussions for the party that does it. But that's like a really weird little element that's been introduced.
Can I ask quite a simple question? By the way, you're listening to ABC Radio. My name's Tim Brunero. Good to be with you. James Hennessy is on the line. He's co-host of Down Round, a tech and culture podcast, and he knows his stuff when it comes to all things tech and culture, as you might expect. He's talking to us about TikTok. Hey, look, can I just ask this question? What's the problem? So I suppose there's two things that I think might be the problem here. One is that there's a concern that this app will start to push views which are kind of anti-American or that are divisive so as to sort of neutralize Americans and get them caught up and spinning their wheels and wasting time and energy on stuff they don't need to or giving them straight out misinformation. Or there might be a concern that the app being on people's phone will be used by nefarious parties, the Chinese Communist Party, who supposedly have a clause that says that anyone who's, you know, registered there or any companies that are registered in China, they have the right to jump in and do what they want with, that they could be tracking you or tracking what you're saying or tracking your movements. Or what's the actual worst case scenario that people are concerned about?
That's basically, you basically hit the nail on the head in terms of what, at the very least, people are talking about. I guess the interesting thing is that on neither of those counts has any sort of strong evidence been put forward that it's actually happening or what it might look like. Definitely, I think the conversation is hewed a little bit more to the former in terms of, you know, this is, could be an influence operation, you know, that the hand-in-glove operation of many Chinese firms with the Chinese Communist Party and the Chinese government means that if they wanted to run some sort of political influence campaign among young Americans, they could just do that via TikTok. You know, they could push certain videos at the expense of others. They could censor certain views. Again, very little evidence has been put forward that this has happened, but there's a feeling that, wow, they could actually maybe do this. Part of this argument as well is the fact that as many would know, the great firewall in China. Most American social media apps are not permitted in China. So there's been this kind of argument that there's a sort of asymmetry in the way that the companies have been regulating each other's corporate activity.
Can you just maybe look? This is such an interesting area. Can you just sort of tell us what will happen now, or in terms of where this law is, what will happen and what the next move is?
Biden has signed the law, which is basically given in the letter of the law 12 months for TikTok to divest. And that essentially means for them to sell their assets to an American company. They can still operate however they like in any other part of the world, but their American operations need to be sold to someone else, or shut down entirely. You know, the law allows for that. And the law doesn't really set out what kind of deal needs to happen. So a million different things could occur. The first one is that TikTok's going to fight this. They're going to take this into the courts. They don't want to do this. They don't want to sell off their American assets because it's a profitable market. So it's quite possible that the law won't hold up if it ends up in front of a superior court or whatever happens. Although it is plausible that an American company could buy TikTok. You know, there were lots of names being bandied around last time, back in 2019 when this first happened. Microsoft was at the table. Oracle, which is a big data storage company in the US, they were at the table. It's an interesting question as to whether TikTok would be a valuable asset to any American tech company. It would be very expensive to acquire, and it may or may not come with the algorithm that actually serves the videos to people, which is considered very, very valuable, but potentially the parent company won't want to sell that. So it's a very complicated question as to whether anyone would actually want it at the price that it would most likely cost. And then there's kind of the final red button scenario, which is just they decide, okay, we're going to pull out of the US. And TikTok has signaled, and it's potentially, you know, a bit of a PR play, that they may just do that. You know, rather, we don't want to sell it. We're just going to shut it down so Americans can't have access to it anymore. So those are kind of like the three big things that could happen. They could fight this in the courts successfully. They could sell the company, or they could shut it down in the US, which none of these would necessarily affect Australia, at least not directly. But, you know, we would probably feel the reverberations. The Australian government would likely follow, or potentially TikTok pulls out of Western markets altogether.
Got to tell you, James, this debate, as I've followed it from afar in the last couple of years, I suppose, I've sort of been seduced by the basic logic of it, which is that TikTok, you know, if it does have, you know, if the Chinese Communist Party does have the capacity to control it, use the data it's scraping, or put divisive views into our community, and we're being told by lawmakers, don't put it on Australian government phones, we're going to ban it here in the US, maybe there's something we don't know and maybe we should trust that. I read an interesting piece, though, recently, which talked about how the American social media players aren't that good either, in the sense that the logarithm, which you mentioned before for TikTok, is remarkable in its ability to elevate content from a wide range of users, regardless of their prior popularity, to give you lots of different views and lots of diversity in terms of your sort of the diet of things it serves up to you, as opposed to things like X or Twitter, which has kind of been so long accused of just feeding back kind of mundane, dirty content back to you that's just general and not, you know, do you know what I'm trying to say? So I thought to myself, well, maybe this argument is seductive, and it's like, well, what makes these other social media companies any better than what, you know, TikTok's doing?
Yeah. And it is kind of funny because we have been through this kind of general argument that people's minds are being, in some sense, or their political views are being influenced or poisoned or, you know, sent down rabbit holes or, had their filter, back when there was a conversation about, you know, filter bubbles, Facebook just reflects your views at you over and over and again and shuts out any alternate viewpoints. We had this kind of argument about American social media, and now we're kind of having it about TikTok. But you're right, that the TikTok algorithm is, it wants to keep you engaged in a very intense way. And we can argue about whether that's a good thing, full stop, without even introducing the political dimension or the Chinese influence or whatever. It's an app that wants to throw as much content at you that it thinks you'll like in an endless stream and keep you engaged. And you are kind of right that, you know, if you swipe around on TikTok for a little while, just play around with it, even if you've never used it before, you'll notice pretty quickly that it does give you a very diverse range of content as it's trying to sound out the sort of things that you like. It's often very hard for me, just like swiping on the feed and watching it for a few minutes, for me to get a sense at all of it trying to, you know, guide me to a certain political persuasion or even reinforce my own, because there's such a bizarre range of content on there. But yeah, I think it's a, but at the same time, you know, as you say, it is a kind of seductive argument in the sense of you have a captive audience of a huge amount of people, and lawmakers tend to think that if the Chinese Communist Party or whoever else wanted to impart a certain view or censor a certain view, you know, the classic example that comes up a lot is that For a period, it was difficult to find Tiananmen Square content on TikTok. I don't think that's necessarily still the case, but you know, there was a lot of reporting on it at the time. That, you know, that could happen. So, you know, you can see both sides.
There has been some commentary that this is this attempt to ban it is sort of a bit of a one-off. People looking back in history and looking at, you know, individual companies being targeted by the Washington Congress, the Senate, House of Reps, and the presidency, like going after particular. One precedent I did read about, though, was the 2020 Committee on Foreign Investments. This is in the US. The Committee on Foreign Investment forced a Chinese company to sell the gay dating app Grindr. Now, I had no idea that a Chinese company came up with Grindr. Now, you know, like, can Chinese companies come up with apps like Grindr? Of course they can. I just didn't realize that Grindr was from a Chinese company. And of course, it's a very prominent and has been for many years gay dating app.
Yep.
I mean, I know you know that, but, you know, for those people who need reminding, sorry, it's not a question, but I was just really surprised that, A, that there is a precedent and that I don't remember being told that they forced Grindr to sell, or that it was even a Chinese company that invented Grindr. I'm just blown away by that.
From memory, and I may actually be wrong on this, but I think it was an acquisition that a Chinese company actually bought Grindr at a later point after it was founded. But it does actually, I mean, it's worth bringing up because it speaks to the fact that, you know, for a very long time, China has been thought of as a manufacturing superpower. They're really, really great at building physical things. You know, there's no one in the world that's better at a huge range of manufacturing activities than China. But when it comes to things like software and platforms and sort of the internet experiences that we use on a daily basis and use to social network and whatever, you know, they're kind of a long way behind the US. That's not their bag, basically. But that is changing. And that's one of the things that when you really scratch below the surface on this stuff and forget about the national security theater and all that kind of stuff, there is a bit of anxiety that, you know, the Chinese software industry and the Chinese internet industry is becoming really, really good at what they do, both in terms of social media, online shopping. You know, you've probably seen internet ads for things like Temu, another online Chinese shopping apps. They're becoming very popular. There's just a sense that, like, they are becoming a superpower in this realm as well. And there's definitely, like, a lot of American companies feel threatened. You know, Facebook or Meta felt very threatened when TikTok became big.
Alibaba's another.
Absolutely, yeah.
I mean, I suppose I hadn't thought about it, and in preparation to yakking to you, I've sort of done a bit of reading. I think there's a lot of people in Australia who are a bit concerned about companies like Facebook and sort of sites that help you book accommodation and so on, and the way that they've scooped up so much money that at one time would have just gone to the hotel that you were going to in the town that you were going to visit next weekend, or have scraped up all that advertising revenue that would have gone to the local paper and sent it all to Silicon Valley. And I'm starting to be seduced by this argument that are Facebook and Twitter and these other mobs any better than TikTok in that they've been very recalcitrant? We've seen that X doesn't want to take down a video of a young man stabbing someone in the face. You know, are they any better? I'm starting to think, you know, like, well, why aren't we, you know, doing more? I mean, you know, I'm starting to get seduced by the idea that TikTok aren't that bad.
Yeah, I mean, this is a big argument. I think you can kind of fold it all in together if you want to be an, you know, equal opportunity about it, which is that, you know, the internet has been obviously very revolutionary to a lot of different things, a lot of different economic models and the way we interact and what have you. And one of the side effects of that is, look, throughout history, if you've owned the distribution of something, you've been able to collect a lot of money from it, right? You know, newspapers used to make money because they owned distribution. If you lived in Sydney, you would buy the Daily Telegraph or the Sydney Morning Herald, because that's the only way you would get your sort of written news. Mm. And they were able to slap ads on that, and they were able to put classifieds and really, you know, extract money from the fact that they own distribution. Now, who owns distribution? Gigantic tech companies, be it Facebook, be it Google, be it TikTok, be it whoever you want to talk about. They generally aren't local. There are no Australian social media networks of note, you know, apart from, you know, smaller, much smaller ones with specific uses, you know, carsales.com.au or something like that. That's not nearly as powerful as having something like Facebook.
Mm.
They have global reach. And I think, you know, whether you're talking about TikTok, whether you're talking about Facebook, whether you're talking about X, there's a bit of anxiety about, you know, where does power accumulate? Where does money accumulate? And it plays out in all these sort of interesting ways, including, as we've just been talking about, geopolitically.
Just finally, and I should let you go soon, James. We've been yakking about this for a fair while. But I would like to ask you this question. In terms of the electoral unpopularity, and I know you did touch on this a little bit earlier, but look, it's my sense that people approach elections with some significant disinterest. Often the promises between the parties are so polished up and designed to get to that 50% plus one. They're not particularly radical. You know, it's pretty easy to be bored by it and really not pay attention until you walk into the booth for a lot of people, especially young people. Is this an example where if TikTok is banned and it actually comes in before the next election, it doesn't look like it's quite going to clip it, but you know, if that's on the cards, this could really be a massive turnoff for the Democrats. Are they not, you know, I mean, concerned that they could lose to Trump because they've actually done something in young people's lives that they actually notice?
Yeah, and I think this is this goes back to the fact of why there's been so much umming and ahhing about it. Because I think, you know, there's a lot of politicians who have, for whatever reason, wanted to ban TikTok for all the things we've been talking about, but don't want to be the one left kind of carrying the bag. They would want like it banned and have their issue off the table, but they don't want to be the ones that, as you say, many young Americans were potentially not politically engaged. And as you say, there are so many things that politicians do that don't have direct or observable impacts on people's lives. But when you ban an app that they love to use, and all of a sudden they realize they can't use their favorite app anymore, and you're the person that pulled the trigger, they're not going to be happy about that. So it will be interesting to see what plays out. And you're right that, you know, it may happen just after the election, but who knows what will happen in the intervening months. There could be the sale, who knows. I think there could actually be blowback among what is quite a crucial demographic for the Democrats to have. Obviously, there's a few other things going on that young people are interested in. It's not just TikTok, but you know, it could be something that swings the needle one way or the other.
James Hennessy, it's been really interesting hearing your views and getting a taste of what's been going on with this debate, because it's all there in your brain and we've managed to crack it open and get a bit of it on the radio, so we appreciate that. Your podcast, Down Round, how do we get into that?
You can just search it on your chosen podcast app, whether it's Apple Podcasts or whatever it is you have on your phone. Just search for Down Round. You will see it. It's got a nice, it's got a very distinctive blue icon. You'll see it immediately.
Awesome. And of course that the podcast app, at least on the brand of phone I've got, is a purple looking one. So that's the one to look for.
That's the one.
James, thanks heaps. Appreciate it.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music and more.